If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the Chicago Bulls still reportedly having a focus on moving Nikola Vucevic this offseason, one potential trade partner in the Nikola Vucevic trade that actually has players and assets that the Chicago Bulls could be interested in has entered back into the market, according to one writer. We're going to take a look at that. Plus, we're going to continue our player grades, this time with Coby White. We're going to get to all that, plus more, right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And so, Joe Calley wrote an article. Casey Johnson also supported it in the fact that the Bulls are still planning on shopping Nikola Vucevic, heavily shopping Nikola Vucevic. Now, this should not be a surprise. I think many people have, remember the fact that they mentioned that Nikola Vucevic, you know, they did a lot of groundwork on a potential move for Nikola Vucevic this offseason. And Vuce had another pretty consistent season for Nikola Vucevic. You know, there was a downstretch in there where he was pretty bad for the Chicago Bulls, which seems to have been, it's a theme going on this offseason. Chicago Bulls fans are holding on to just the negative, right, when it comes down to it. And I understand it. It's the place that the team is in. But Nikola Vucevic had a pretty consistent season this year. 18.5 points per game, 10 rebounds per game. He was 10th in rebounding in the entire league, 53% shooting from the field. He was the 15th best shooter in the league as far as efficiency and field goal shooting percentage in the league. At 73-game season, he only missed 9 games this season. This was another fairly consistent season for Nikola Vucevic. And when you look at it, that's really what Vuce has done. Over his full seasons with the Chicago Bulls, he's had 73 games played, 82 games played, 76 games played, and 73 this year, right? Now, Vuce is heading to being older, right? He's 34 years old. He'll turn 35 near the beginning of next season, and that's probably why the Bulls want to move on. There's no doubt that Vuce really doesn't fit what the Bulls. Now, he can play in certain things. You have to, like with all players, even like DeMar DeRozan wasn't the best player without being off ball, but we kind of made it work towards the end of last season. The season before last, I guess I should say now, right? Even though we're still in this season, nonetheless, right? I'm not going to get caught up in that. OCD is a thing, people. But with that said, Nikola Vucevic is still a player that has been fairly consistent, right? And, he has his limitations. And that limit, one of those big limitations is defense. And I want to be clear here. Everything that the Bulls give up at the rim is not all Nikola Vucevic's fault, right? That is some based off the perimeter, a lack of perimeter defense that we have, and the fact that at times it's easy to get by our guards, which is why we moved to a more zone-based defensive system that the Bulls are pretty decent in. But one thing that cannot be denied, and shout out to Elias Schuster for pointing this out in his article, is that how much better and different this Bulls defense would look with an actual rim-protecting big, right? That's something that this team has been missing for years. And years and years and years. And so the breakdown defensively and the way that the Bulls give up points in the paint is not all on Nikola Vucevic. And people who blame that all on Vuce, it's not. But neither Vuce nor Zach Collins or Jalen Smith really make up for that. None of those guys are known or have made their best asset is their defensive ability. It's just not, right? Remember when people were hoping that Jalen Smith was going to be so much better defender than Nikola Vucevic, and while he does, have a better shot block rate, I should say, he's not some great on-ball defender. He's actually pretty bad, as is Zach Collins, as is Jalen Smith and Nikola Vucevic, right? Now, with that said, some of the best defense that we played last season, as far as analytically, was when Zach Collins was in there as the center. Now, I'm not saying that to say that Zach Collins fixes our defense's issues at center, but no, I'm saying that's just how much things change with a player that gave more effort on ball defensively and had, you know, that high IQ of just basketball IQ, right? And that's how much it changed. So if the Bulls can actually get a rim-protecting big in here, there is reason to believe that things would look different for the Chicago Bulls defensively. And as long as you have a switchable big man at that, if you have that big man that can switch on the guards, that can switch on to some forwards, not saying that they need to guard them the whole possession or things like that, but have a little bit of that, that really does change things in the way that the Bulls guard defensively. So it makes sense. The reasons why Nikola Vucevic is on the trade block for the Bulls, I don't really think anybody's going to, you know, say they don't understand why. And the question is, like, how aggressive are the Bulls going to be about possibly moving off of Nikola Vucevic? And we'll see. We'll see what happens when it comes down to that. Now, this is not going to be the grade on Nikola Vucevic's season. I know we're doing player grades. We're actually going to grade Kobe White's season today. But, you know, like I've said before, it's not usually as bad as some Bulls fans make it out to be. Vooch did have a terrible stretch, though, where he not only looked like he was completely over this team, he played bad, right? That month of March for Nikola Vucevic was bad. 50% from the field, the numbers aren't bad, but 15 points, less than 10 rebounds per game from Nikola Vucevic. That's not what you want to see from Vooch, right? The month of February wasn't much better either. 44% from the field, 34% shooting from three, 15 points per game, 14.8. But everything other than that, right? Other than those 2 months, and even half the month of March was decent for him, right? Vooch has been pretty consistent. And so Elias Schuster, in his article, points out that the Golden State Warriors could be a team that comes back calling on Nikola Vucevic. Now, I have my own doubt around that, right? I think when you look at it, the rise of Quentin Post may make Nikola Vucevic not as big of a need, reportedly, as they were looking for. But again, you never know, right? They could look at Quentin Post and say, he's a year away from being a year away, right? Like, yeah, he can contribute now, but is it really bringing everything that we need? You look at Post, 7 foot, 238 pounds, right? Solid rebounding rate for him and things like that. But again, he's an unproven player, right? A second round pick that was picked in 2024. And he's shown some flashes, but it's still just flashes, right? Still hasn't been a double-digit scorer, right? Which is what they would theoretically be looking for. And I think when it comes down to that, it comes down to how does this Golden State Warriors season end, right? If you're watching their one playoff game so far against the Houston Rockets, they actually were able, they're pretty damn good defensively, right? And the thing with Nikola Vucevic being there is that he would have Draymond Green next to him, and how much does that defense kind of override some things, right? And so in this article, Elias Schuster points out that they have some players that the Bulls ultimately could be interested in, right? Talked about Trayce Jackson-Davis, which is a player that, like, again, I'm not saying that he's the end-all, be-all in a trade and he's just what we focus on. You're focusing kind of more so on clearing a player that doesn't work, maybe adding a player in Trayce Jackson-Davis that maybe fits a little bit more into what you want to do. 25 years old, he fits that maybe that young with experience type that Arturis Karnišovas has talked about, right? 2 seasons in the league, so still a very inexperienced player as well. They still has a lot left to grow. Could Trayce Jackson-Davis be somebody that could interest the Bulls as a depth piece or something like that? 6 points, 5 rebounds per game on 57% shooting, only taking 5 shots per game. Like I said, not necessarily something you look at and you're like, oh, yay, we got Trayce Jackson-Davis. But it is somebody that you look at and say, hey, we got some depth. We got a solid depth piece. If you draft a center in this draft, you know, maybe you're not looking at, you know, the piece you get back as being the focus there, which is something that I think is going to be very important in a potential Nikola Vucevic trade. If you get a center in this draft and you have confidence that center is your center of the future, you could be very perfectly fine with looking at Zach Collins and Jalen Smith being the main kind of centers you play as because we know under Billy Donovan they're not at least playing right away, right? As you get that center that you're drafting to a place that you feel comfortable with starting them. So that's the thing that you're looking at for. But then again, the Warriors still have to match the salary, right? That's the overarching thing here, is they have to match the salary of Nikola Vucevic. Now, they do have $25 million beneath the first tax apron, right? $36 million beneath the first tax apron. So they have a little bit of wiggle room that they can play with, but a lot of that's pending on the restricted free agency of Jonathan Kuminga. And that is where, really, Elias Schuster in this article really gets the cooking at, right? He talked about people. He mentions this specifically, says, speaking of potential Warriors trade, my interest anyone in Jonathan Kuminga. He fits the young player with experience mode that Arturis oddly values so much. but he's still just 22 years old with loads of untapped potential. The 6'8" swing man could give Chicago another versatile offensive weapon who can create for himself off the bounce and get to the free throw line. Rumors continue to swirl that the Warriors will not look to keep him around past the season, and the Stein line has reported that a sign and trade is likely. I would be a little concerned about how high his potential price tag goes, especially knowing that Josh Giddey's payday is coming, but this is an option I'm evaluating this summer if I'm the Chicago Bulls. I love that, right? Not saying, hey, they got to do this by any means necessary, but to say that, let's evaluate what's going on here. Now, some are going to ask, okay, Hayes, how can they get that done? Well, technically, the Chicago Bulls have $59 million beneath the first tax apron, right? $59 million beneath the first tax apron. So even if they do sign Josh Giddey to the $30 million contract that he reportedly is looking for, that still would leave about $29 million. Now, you got to take some of that away as well for your 11th overall pick. So you're probably messing with more like $20 to $22 million, right? If I have that scale correct in my mind, right? And that's the thing. So look, we can judge that by... So Miles Mouzilis, for example, is making $5.1 million. He was the 11th overall pick. So if the Bulls end up picking 12th, right, you're looking at less than that. So you're still probably operating with, yeah, $22-ish million dollars to deal with. And keep in mind, Bulls have 13 players under salary. So it's not like they're looking to add a bunch of players. If you can get Jonathan Kuminga back in a signing trade where you're sending out Nikola Vucevic, and I think you're probably still going to have to send out at least a protected pick back, just don't let it be your 2025 pick, which by then that draft would happen. So probably looking to push that out to 2026, 2027. Would that be something that the Warriors are interested in? And I think that maybe. Right now, the market for Kuminga is gonna matter to all this, right? Because if you have a team that looking at Kuminga and they think, hey, no, this guy can be a huge part. We're a bad team. We can give him the shots that he needs to really develop. We're willing, you know, to give him $30 million-ish. Like, there's always a chance of some team doing something stupid like that, right? But if the Bulls come calling and the Golden State Warriors have a legitimate interest in Nikola Vucevic, there could be business to be done here, right? And that's the thing that you look.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And in as well, like they extended Jimmy Butler all the way out to the 2026-27 season. Nikola Vucevic's contract ends at the 2026 season. Steph Curry's also ends in 2026-27. So you're not necessarily attaching, and Dre's does too. All those guys line up then. So you're not really, it keeps you on your path if you're the Golden State Warriors. So listen, it's something that, again, I would be interested in the Bulls sniffing around there to see if something could be done. I still think it's unlikely. But I do like that Elias Schuster here is thinking outside the box with still adding something. And then if you're in the offseason, if you're able to add Jonathan Kuminga in a sign and trade, your pick that's going to be at least hopefully in the top 12, right? You add those things to this team. You can convince me on saying, hey, like we changed some things, right? Now let's see what this team can continue to do. We added another young player, right, who has never been in the system in Jonathan Kuminga where he's been featured, right? And not to say he will, he's not going to take shots away from Kobe, maybe even not Josh Giddey. But then again, we know that Josh Giddey loves to distribute and get other players involved. That's where Kuminga could come in at and really help that Chicago Bulls team. So again, like I said, I'm not here trying to beat the drum saying that the Bulls need to go all out for Jonathan Kuminga. And I'm not here to try to gas and say that the Bulls are in a position of power when it comes to Nikola Vucevic. It would have to come down to the Warriors already having some interest in Vooch, as it was reported that they did last year at the trade deadline. The Bulls would also have to give up a future asset. You're not getting any assets back in this case. I don't want to hear no Bulls fans bitching about that. You're not getting any assets back in this one. You're getting the younger player, right? So we'll see. I still have my doubts about AK being in a place this offseason where he's ready to give up some assets. But then again, making a move for Jonathan Kuminga is the type of move even that you'd be looking for in 2026, where the free agents are much better, right? So that's something you're looking out for. So, you know, we'll see. Overall, I think that this is going to be an offseason where we get a lot of Nikola Vucevic speculation and rumors and things like that. We just got to see where it all shakes out, right? So we'll see what happens there. But all right, let's move on from that. Let's get into the player grade for today. And we're grading Coby White today, right? Yes, should I have probably graded Nikola Vucevic since seeing how the opening segment was a Nikola Vucevic segment? Probably. But I had a plan coming into this. I'm sticking to the plan. My OCD will not let me veer off from the plan. But we're here to evaluate Coby White today, right? Coby White, who is dealt with, and let me go ahead and bury the lead here for a second. If anybody's expecting me to all of a sudden shit on Coby White's season because of how the play-in game went, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to objectively evaluate everything with Coby White. The play-in game is going to be part of that evaluation, but it won't be the evaluation, right? But it will be part of the evaluation in here. But I'm not somebody who I allow one thing to kind of reframe my whole thinking on everything that happened. Not going to do that, right? But with that said, Coby White had his best statistical year with the Chicago Bulls, period, right? His highest field goal shooting percentage from the field at 45%. That is the highest of his NBA career, right? He played 74 games, which is the second highest of his career. 79 last year was the highest, but still a really good season there as far as games played. 43% shooting from the field, 37% shooting from three, which is actually the lowest percentage he shot since his second year in the league, right? But again, the volume was way up. It was the most three-point shots that he took as well. The free throw shooting was way up for him. Over a free throw more per game as the season finished, that was even higher, right? But again, he didn't do it for a full season. But he did shoot the ball 90% from free throw range, which is, again, tied for the highest. That, again, it was his second year in the league, right? 3.7 rebounds, 4.5 assists, both down from last year, but that's because he moved from being the point guard to the shooting guard, right? And 20 points per game, again, that is the highest of his career, a point higher than what he did last year. But much like with Coby, you know, as it has been, there were those signs of inconsistencies with Coby White, right? Now, I will say this, that this was his most consistent season that he ever had. When you look at it, he only had 9 games this season where he scored in single digits. He's had seasons where he's played less games and scored and had more games where he scored less than double-digit points, right? So that's good. And I know that people like to point towards, you know, they like to look at just, oh, he was inconsistent. Like, he didn't score 20 every single game. Nobody does that. There's always some flux. Let me not say nobody. There are some players that do that. But we know that Kobe's not a star-level player. He's not that yet, right? And at 25 years old, the question that you legitimately have to ask is, how close can he get to that, right? I think that's what you have to start asking. But we'll see what shakes out there, right, for Coby White. But when you look at it, the month by month for Coby, he started off in October, 19 points per game, 43% shooting, 34% shooting from three. Again, adjusting to playing with Josh Giddey, adjusting to yet a new role. 18 points per game in the month of November, 43% shooting from the field, 39% shooting from three. December, his roughest month, 17 points, 39% shooting from the field, 29% shooting from three. Now, when you look at the game by games, the numbers were pretty good, right? When you look at it, he had no games where he scored in single digits in the month of December, but his shooting was real rough. And that's what it is. Coby White goes through these long, extended periods of cold shooting. In the month of December, for example, with that being the roughest month that he had, there are only 2 games where he shot above 40% in that whole month. Only 2 games where he shot above 40%, and only 3 games where he shot above 33% from three. It was a very bad month for Coby White. Make no mistake about it, right? But then January, he got right back to it. 49% shooting from the field, 42% shooting from three in the month of January, 19 points per game, 4.6 assists per game in that one, 3 rebounds basically per game. February, 17 points per game, 38% shooting from the field, 35% shooting from three. But again, the game by games looked really good for him. The month of March, the best season, the best month maybe of Coby White's career, where he did win Eastern Conference Player of the Month, 27 points per game, 49% shooting from the field, 37% shooting from three, with 4.7 rebounds, 3.7 assists, really good numbers there for him. And when you really look at the back half of the season as well, Coby White was getting to the free throw line at a rate where that's where I want to see Coby White. And I don't know if the cold month that he had before then helped add to that on him finding or realizing, hey, when my shot's not falling, let me get to this free throw line. If it did, great, amazing, right? Because that's that recognition is what could possibly take Coby White a lot further down the stretch of this, and you need that from Coby White. You need a Coby White that can figure out how to get to the free throw line more. Over the last 20 games of the season, he averaged 6.6 free throw attempts per game. That is basically double his career averages, right? And he maintained that. And that's what you really love to see and hope to see from Coby White going on forward into the season, into next season, right? So in evaluating Coby White, it comes down to expectations are one thing. I'm not going to hold my expectations coming into the season against the reality now that we have it, right? Coby showed an ability to be, you know, a really good scorer for this Bulls team. And the tandem between him and Josh Giddey really found their balance, and it was really good to watch as those players kind of figured that out, right? But overall, the question here is, what do we grade Coby White's season, right? Now, the play-in. We know that the play-in, he did not play well at all. 5 for 20, 17 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds. He shot 25% from the field and 25% from three-point range. That's not going to cut it. And for a player in Coby White that people are looking at saying that, can he be a go-to scorer in this league at the bare minimum? Go-to scorer doesn't necessarily even mean you're the team's best player. Can you be the go-to scorer? He's going to get an opportunity, I think, to continue to prove that at the start of next season. Hopefully, this is a season where Coby White's role does not change from the offseason to the start of the season. But you have to grade it, right? And overall, Coby not showing up in those moments, right, in the play-in. Now, he had a very good play-in game last year against the Hawks. Not so good against the Miami Heat, right? And maybe that team is just a bad matchup for him. Maybe they just got Coby White figured out on how to defend him. I don't know. But in those that stage of not being able to really show up, it does have to have a impact into evaluating somebody's season, because it is part of the full season. That's why I wait to do these when the bull season ends, not when the regular season ends, right? To evaluate everything. And overall, I'll say that this was a solid B-minus season from Coby White, right? And that slump, that bad shooting month where it was that affects it more than the playing game, at least to me. I also think that Coby White defensively was not what he looked like at times last. And like, he was never a lockdown defender, but there were times where Coby just wasn't as active defensively as what he was. Now he is switching from guarding point guards to shooting guards. So maybe that was an aspect of a curve that he's going to have to learn. But Coby White, he did get given the keys as the go-to scorer after Zach LaVine left. And in that time, he fared pretty damn well. But as we like to talk about him being fair in these things, he still has things that he definitely needs to round out and show. So again, B minus grade for me from Coby White. I think for what it is, what this season was, and his role continually changing. And at the start of the season, he was made to be a jump shooter. He wasn't allowed to play his game because he had to fit in what the team was trying to do. He played more of his actual game on the back half of the season. And that was very promising. So B minus grade for me from Coby White. And we'll see what the future does hold for Coby as well, right? Now, before we go, we did talk about this in an emergency episode, but I'm just going to recap it real quickly here. The Chicago Bulls, in the coin flip, they lost the coin flip in their tiebreaker for the lottery standings with the Dallas Mavericks, which means they're going into the draft lottery with the 12th best odds to land, you know, the number one overall pick when it shakes out. And that's not surprising, right? It, you know, it is what it is there. I don't expect the Bulls to get, a bunch of, chances at a bunch of things for them to fall and go their way. But, you know, now the Bulls sit at number 12. We know they're going to be at number 12. They have an 8% chance at a top four pick and a 1.7% chance at the number one overall pick. Had they won the coin toss with Dallas Mavericks, they would have had an 8.5% chance at a top four pick and a 1.8% chance at the number one overall pick. So really, they gained a half a percentage on the top four and 0.1% on the number one pick. I'm not really losing my shit over that when it comes down to it. We'll just see what the future holds here for the Bulls, man. Overall, we're going to need lottery luck one way or another. We'll see if the Bulls can get lucky in the lottery. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.